You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. Saw you were marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high, trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
It was within your lifetime, Keith Alexander, that was a big hit on the pop charts there by Johnny Horton.
I remember it, and that was about the time of the centennial of the Civil War, and you heard him say that even your enemies speak highly of your name. They don't anymore, but they did back in the early 60s.
Now, of course, that is the song nearest and dearest to my heart out of the Johnny Horton catalog, but I would have to say my favorite Johnny Horton song is North to Alaska. What about you? I bet you're a Battle of New Orleans type of guy.
I like both of those, and, he had a lot of songs. He was a major country singer. He married Hank Williams' widow, and he was killed in an automobile accident because back then they all had to travel all over the place to, do performances in order to make a living. They didn't make the living off of their records. The records got them popularity, but they made money off of personal appearances.
Well, when do we get to do that?
Well, you do.
I don't know about that.
No, you don't do. You go around. But
yeah, we get around. Yeah, we do the appearances just without the money.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. What's up? Anyway, welcome back, folks. This is an interesting night tonight in that we had one guest making his debut appearance on our program during Confederate History Month the next, who is most certainly a CHM mainstay for us. I want to thank again John Hill for appearing in the last hour to tell us more about his relative, General A.P. Hill. John Hill has, in the last couple of years, driven 11,000 miles going around Dixie and beyond to share presentations and give speeches about A.P. Hill and the Confederate cause. A.P. Hill, of course, was like General Forrest, dug up and reinterred by these savages of
these ghouls on the left.
And he is now buried in Fairview Cemetery in Culpeper, Virginia. We didn't get a chance to get into that with Mr. Hill in the last hour, but we stayed with him after the break and talked to him off the air. And he's there every month, he said, to make sure that the grave is being watched over and protected. And you can pay your respects to A.P. Hill, who was showcased tonight on our Confederate History Month series at Fairview Cemetery in Culpeper, Virginia. And be sure to get in touch with John Hill and have him speak to your local group if you can. Now, though, let's get to the anchor of tonight's broadcast, as Confederate History Month mainstay, as I just mentioned, Mr. Kirk Lyons, Kirk the Lionhearted, as we call him around
That's
here, right,
right
Keith?
That's right.
Kirk co-founded and serves as the chief trial counsel for the Southern Legal Resource Center, a nonprofit public law corporation which offers legal support to defend First Amendment violations, violations of civil rights, and discrimination against advocates of Southern heritage. Kirk is a longtime friend and a longtime guest on this show, and it's always great to have him on. Kirk, how are you doing tonight?
Not doing too bad for a man of my age and bad habits.
I tell you what, man, if I had your vigor and if I had your ability in a party setting, I you never run dry. You never go empty. Your tank is always brimming.
His glass never runs dry.
I mean it, and it's always great to have you on. Hey, and I heard Kirk, that you're the newly minted general of the Confederate Air Force. You were you were about to take to the skies for a recent operation, were you not?
Well, we've been doing that for several years on behalf of Save Southern Heritage. And, yeah, we were going to fly over the Carolina Cup in Camden, South Carolina last week, actually on April Fool's Day, with a Never Nikki message. And unfortunately, tornadoes further west of South Carolina and just high winds all over made it too dangerous to fly, so we weren't able to fly over the Carolina Cup, which is the first premier horse race in South Carolina in the spring. But now we did get some people up to Lexington County, South Carolina, where Nikki Haley was having a presidential rally for about 100. It had about 100 people show up, but we had flags and Never Nikki posters outside.
And that was
to let her know that we still remember her.
Yeah, you still remember her treachery there when she was there as
governor
of South Carolina. Well, it's good. It's good that she'd be faced with the flag, that flag which stands for resistance to oppression and tyranny.
She will see it again.
That's right. Now, you have done, as you mentioned, the aerial messaging for a few years now. So it's not always. I'm sure that the messages sometimes rotate. And perhaps it was for good that we saved the jet fuel this week, because I think there might have been more people in the cockpit of that plane carrying the banner that are actually going to be voting for Nikki Haley in any Republican primary election. But what are some of the other messages you take with these aerial assaults?
Well, for a while we were picking on NASCAR. We've done several NASCAR flyovers to great acclaim. We've done several picking on Jacksonville for their takedown itis of Confederate monuments. So the message changes depending on which venue we decide to pick on.
I hate to quote Churchill and for any reason, but Kirk kind of reminds me of, "We will fight them in the air." Well, give me the quote and give it. Somebody give me the
hedges
quote.
And the something wrong.
We will fight them in the beaches. We will fight them on the.
Well, my favorite quote from Winston Churchill, though, is this:
"Love them or hate them, Churchill knew how to use the English language."
Oh my! Well, he weaponized the English language. Well, I mean, there's no doubt about it. He had that ability.
If only he was as good a military strategist and a political scientist as he was a speechmaker. I remember one of his famous comments was that dogs look up to us, cats look down on us, but pigs consider us equals.
Well, I was going to say, Kirk reminds me of Churchill, and pardon the comparison, Kirk, in so much as you're fighting them in the air with these plain messages, and also in court with the SLRC and on the streets as well. Go ahead, Kirk.
Well, I have a Churchill quote you might like.
All right. Well, hey, I tell you what. Tease it. Wait. Tease us. I want people to try to imagine what this could possibly be, because we got to come up on a break. And when we come back, we'll get that quote from Kirk Lyons of the Southern Legal Resource Center. We're going to find out more about his work in the courtroom on behalf of these issues as Confederate History Month rolls on this April. Stay tuned, everybody.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, 'cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fall away, Johnny Reb.
Always great to talk with old friends, new and old, I guess, as we're doing tonight, but always great to talk to Kirk Lyons in any capacity, whether it be on the phone, in person, on the radio, or wherever. Kirk has been a longtime friend and a longtime champion of free and independent South and of Dixians here alive and well today. His work with the Southern Legal Resource Center. You can read more about it at slrc-csa.org. slrc-csa.org. Now, Kirk, we just switched over to a landline with Kirk. You said you have a Churchill quote people will appreciate.
Well, during the Indian independence movement, you know, Mahatma Gandhi was the leader of the breakaway, you know, trying to break India away from the empire. And Churchill was quoted as saying that he would not shake hands with Mahatma Gandhi because he wouldn't shake hands with an adult that wore diapers.
You know, it is interesting. That's fun. I've never heard that before. That's funny. It is interesting, though. I mean, even our adversaries like Sherman and even Lincoln himself would say things that we would agree with wholeheartedly from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a shame that they wasted their lives in service of the dark side. But in any event, they did. I mean, there were things that these people say that they're 100% agreement. It just does.
And, you know, another thing that we mention often here is that, you know, all the issues that existed then that called for secession still exist today, and maybe even in a greater degree than they did back in 1861.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that.
Let's
talk
about
that. We're more divided, if it's possible, than we were in the 1850s.
Well, that's something that's been we've been drum beating that for quite a while now on this show. And Kirk, I do want to get in, but since Keith brought it up, and I'm glad, Keith, that you did, I do want to get in with you in a moment, Kirk, about some of your work in the courtroom, some of your cases, some of the things you do with the SLRC, some of the things that you're fighting right now. But yeah, I mean, that's been something that we've sort of revolved around here in the last few weeks, is this this new poll out, 47%. According to Rasmussen, say that they 47% of Republicans say that they're in favor of a national divorce, is what they're calling it. So, yeah, what do you think? I mean, do you think that the prospects of some sort of a balkanization or secession are more likely now than at other points in your life?
I think we just got a lurch upward to that probability when the so-called rogue nations, Russia and China and India and OPEC, have agreed on a common currency. And my understanding is that is going to be the rupee, going to be the reserve currency for them. But I think that they will eventually choose the yuan. And that's going to put the dollar in a tailspin, in my opinion. And so, you know, I've always thought that economic implosion of this evil system would be the best way to break it up peacefully, if that's possible. If that's possible, the
well,
same way it
happened.
That's
a silver lining
in
every dark cloud.
Well, you know, Keith, it's amazing because Keith was just talking about that earlier in the program tonight, and I don't guess it should be amazing that smart people have commonality on or agreement on certain issues and outcomes. But let's let you hold forth there a little bit longer on that, Kirk. I mean, the idea that perhaps there's a greater probability now than at any point in our lifetimes that this thing could come apart at the seams. I mean, we're talking about economic collapse, the situations relative to what you just mentioned, and then also
nobody can advance our position like our opponents.
Yeah, go ahead, Kirk. And what the whole situation with Russia?
Than we've ever been before, trillions and trillions, and that just cannot go on forever. Cannot. And, you know, the man thinks that he can control the economy like he control the weather, maybe? No. You know, we learned in 1929 that man can't control the economy forever, and it can happen again. And
well, they've gone far beyond that now, Kirk. They want to control human sexuality.
Yeah. You know, the dollar is in decline, and even more, and it's being supplanted by a good bit of the world. We could see an economic implosion in D.C., in which case there will be opportunities for states or clumps of states to break away from the empire.
See, people forget. I mean, the Great Depression of the 20s directly played a role into the World Wars. So to imagine that you can have a great economic collapse, there not be some reverberations, is I think folly. If it does happen here, and of course, you know, even in the Great Depression, America wasn't hit as hard of it as Europe was, especially Germany, if you can believe it. But and America came out of it through the wars. But if that happens, or through the Second World War,
because
but if
of
that,
Ukraine, there's going to be a reshuffling of the deck, and I don't think America is going to be at the top of the deck anymore.
Well, even in the 20s, when that happened the first time, you still had a mostly a homogeneous nation, and you still had a lot of commonality amongst the American people, even though there was still a big difference between the South and other parts. We were certainly more connected at that point than we are now. I mean, now we agree on nothing. I mean, and not only do we not agree, I mean, there is a visceral hatred between the Reds and the Blues. It's not the Blues and the Grays right now. It's the Reds and the Blues. And if it does fall apart, Kirk, and I believe that it will, I agree with you on that. I mean, what potentially does it look like, though? I guess my concern would be not if it will fall apart. I'm hoping that it will, but that when it does, we get resorted into a sort of civic nationalist, nominally conservative. I mean, certainly better than what we've got now, but we're not addressing the root issues. I mean, what would you?
Well, avoiding war is one of the things that will have to happen if it's going to be peaceful. And I'm concerned about NATO nonsense and this stupid regime that we live under, weaponizing this war to the point that it goes nuclear in the Ukraine. And you know, you've got stupid stuff like the Brits sending depleted uranium shells to Ukraine. I mean, that's madness. That's absolute madness. And, you know, we have no vital interest in the Ukraine. I mean, the system does, but real Americans do not.
Right.
And,
American people do not have anything.
We were going to throw down with the Soviet Union over missiles 90 miles from us. You know, what do we expect?
And, you know, the other big flashpoint, though, Kirk, is this. We've got also China and Taiwan. And, you know, that's too much on our plate. We can't handle that.
I'm just asking obviously I would hate that this would ever happen. I'm just asking for a friend. If New York City and Los Angeles got hit with a nuclear bomb, could the South survive? I mean, I guess if they hit D.C., Virginia would be in bad shape. But I mean, I'm just wondering. But we joke, but I mean, there is a very serious possibility now that that they could mismanage the situation with Russia to the extent that it becomes a nuclear war. I mean, who could have imagined that they would be that reckless?
I guess really we could. I really think the people running the West NATO and America are more of a danger to push the button than the Russians or the Chinese. If we start losing over there, they just are not going to accept it. That's the left that wants to spread globo homo all over the world.
Well, that's my great fear.
So in any circumstance that facilitates a balkanization or a separation of this 50-state union as we know it, or disunion, how do you think, I mean, again, we're getting way too far ahead of ourselves, but Kirk, what would be a plausible outcome for that for the South? I don't know if we're going back to where we were in the 1860s, but how could we be bettered by what may be coming?
Well, I think that we're watching Texas right now, and because they're actually trying to get it on a referendum, and I suspect that the apparatchiks in Texas will try to prevent that any way they can. But if Texas is able to get a vote on breaking away and starting that process of de-annexing from the United States, I think other states are going to want to get involved. And they may either ally with the new Republic of Texas, or their own secession movements will begin. You just got to have.
Who do you think is the leading state? Is it going to be Florida or Texas?
De-annexation in Texas.
Who do you think is going to lead the pack? Do you think it's going to be Texas or Florida or some other third state in the South?
Well, Texas is further along. And Texas has already wisely started building its own reserve currency based on gold.
I didn't know that.
I mean, it's making steps towards that. And it'd be interesting to see what happens by the end of the legislature if the stupid party people in Texas are able to prevent a vote on referendum.
All right, hold on. I want to come back with Kirk Lyons and continue this thread of conversation right after the break, and still more to come on his work in the courtroom with the Southern Legal Resource Center. So stay tuned.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Richard Johnson. The second Tennessee State Assemblyman, who was thrown out of the General Assembly last week, will probably return tomorrow after a vote this afternoon to reinstate Justin Pearson. NBC correspondent Katie Beck is in Memphis.
It does appear at this point that there is a high probability he will have the votes. There are 13 members of the Shelby County Commission. 9 of them are Democrats. He needs a simple majority to be reinstated and sent back to the state capitol. And most of those commissioners believe he will get it today.
Pearson's fellow expelled assemblyman, Justin Jones, was reinstated by the Nashville City Council and returned to the assembly floor yesterday. Both Democrats were expelled by the Assembly's Republican supermajority for taking part in an anti-gun demonstration inside the Assembly chamber. It will be days before fire crews will be able to put out a huge blaze at a plastic recycling facility in the town of Richmond, Indiana. The fires produced a huge black plume of toxic smoke that poses a huge challenge to Richmond Fire Chief Tim Brown and his people.
It is very difficult. We have to have enough water to overcome the BTUs that the fire is producing. And we're on a small water main in this area, so we really didn't have enough water.
No word yet on the cause. Thousands of nearby residents have been forced from their homes. Falling grocery and gas prices contributed to a drop in the government's top gauge of inflation last month. The March Consumer Price Index rose by 0.1% and is up by 5% from a year ago. Last month, the year over year was 6%. The call is growing among Democrats for longtime California Senator Dianne Feinstein to resign. The 89-year-old's been out sick with shingles since early last month. Combined with the absence of Pennsylvania's John Fetterman, the Democrats' two-vote Senate majority is, for the moment, gone. This is USA News.
Need weekend plans? Check out what's happening at your local Lowe's. Weekending at Lowe's gives you and your family the opportunity to make us your weekend destination. Stop by for free workshops, events, and activities for everyone to enjoy. We're getting active with fun local events like our upcoming Lowe's Bucketball Challenge and Kids Workshop. Visit Lowe's.com/events for our full event lineup. Count on Lowe's for all of your home improvement needs. And now, activities in your community with Weekending at Lowe's.
Want to grow your business but don't know where to start? Good leads. Leads are how you get customers, tax help, legal, insurance, home improvement, investment services, and more. Don't pay for someone else's used up leads. Get new customers now on any budget with Leads Direct for your business at fastleadsnow.net. Fastleadsnow.net will advertise your business on radio stations like this one, but you only pay for the leads you need. Fastleadsnow.net. Fastleadsnow.net. That's fastleadsnow.net.
Oh, I'm a good old rebel, now that's just what I am. For this fair land of freedom, I do not care a damn. I'm glad I fit against it, I only wish we'd won. And I don't want no pardon for anything I've done.
There's just no doubt about it. Righteousness did not prevail during that war. I don't think any of the belligerents could have ever, in their worst nightmare, imagined what America would become.
just how crazy those Yankee abolitionists in New England are.
Oh, my God.
They're the ones driving the the philosophy behind the Democrats to this day.
Well, we are talking during Confederate History Month, and I think as you've seen us thread in and out of this throughout the first 3 weeks of our annual celebration here on the show, is we're talking about, yes, some of the heroes, some of the stories during that period of our people's history, but also the cause in general and how it can be continued even in to this day. So last hour with John Hill, we're talking about A.P. Hill. We're talking about one of the heroes of the Confederacy. Now with Kirk Lyons, we're talking about continuing the battle, how he fights now and some issues that we're watching that may provide us with an opportunity to do even more still. But Kirk, you were talking about Texas and how they may be leading this thing, or how they may prove to be the leaders of the next stage.
Texas, the Texas National Movement has 400,000 members. I don't know any political organization on the right that has that kind of membership. But
and
they are movers and shakers in Texas right now, and they have mainstreamed.
And they're serious.
You know, so they doing rallies all over the state of Texas.
How are they represented
and
in the state legislature?
Even with 400,000 members, that may not be enough to push the stupid party, which has a lot of rhinos in the Texas House and Senate. But, you know, they've grown exponentially in the last few years.
Well, I want to mention this to you, Kirk, and answer to Keith's question and get your take on this, because yes, I mean, some state, some group, some organization, somebody somewhere somehow is going to have to take the lead. I was actually in Dallas. It all blurs together now. Three weeks ago, I was in Dallas to give a talk, and we were talking about some of the things that have happened in the Republican Party of Texas. Now, you got to remember, of course, that the delegates who attend the state party convention aren't necessarily the representatives that are charged with facilitating the action. But what's happening on a grassroots level in Texas, Kirk, is nothing short of extraordinary. Now, we've talked about this before, but last summer in Houston, the summer of 2022, I'm reading now from Salon Magazine. All right, this was how Salon covered the Texas Republican Party convention. And Salon writes, in Houston, Texas, Republicans got a taste of just how far right their party has become. At the state's GOP convention, delegates officially declared Joe Biden to be an illegitimate president, proposed repealing the 1965 Voting Rights Act, and voted for a platform calling on schools to teach that life begins at conception and to avoid all discussion of gender identity or sexuality. They went on to add additional planks, doing away with so-called gender-affirming medical care for transvestites. So on a grassroots level, Kirk, you've got something really big going on there, and they also voted at that same state party convention that the question of secession be put on the ballot. Now, again, whether the current leadership that's representing this party does it is another thing, but the people are already there.
Yeah, and that's the disconnect, is that that's not reflected in the GOP leadership in the House, which is lousy. You know, the legislature, you know, is, you know, they're the GOP Speaker of the House is into power sharing with the Democrats. That's ridiculous. That's insane. But, you know, he hands out, you know, committee chairs to Democrat and Republican alike. And that's just wrong for a majority party to act that way. And that's why they can't get anywhere. Plus, you've got these do-nothing governors. I mean, they do some good things, Patrick and Abbott, but by and large, you know, the bigger issues they avoid.
Well, I mean, they could avoid
it. They've never done anything on monument reform, and won't. They won't rein in the University of Texas Board of Regents. And they won't defund these stupid, damned, woke universities in the state system. They should cut off every penny to the University of Texas that they can, and won't do it.
Yes, you're right about all of that. Obviously, clearly, you're right. But I still think that you have to invest a little bit of hope in that the delegates of the biggest Republican state party convention in the country is gone so far to want to put secession on the ballot and repeal the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which, you know, that's really above and beyond.
That's,
you're really rolling
big,
back.
I agree.
That's one of our big bugaboos. That's why we have all this electoral fraud, because of the 65 Voting Rights Act. Now, let me ask you one thing about Texas. I understand that the governor is for the state on its own dime finishing the border wall on the border of Texas and Mexico. Now, is that one of these?
I have heard
is this
that
real,
Abbott is on
or
record
is this one of these things
that.
Where the, is this going to be one of those things where when
See,
all is
Abbott's
said and done, more will be said than done?
About everything, he's picked that issue to push because he knows it's good for votes, and you know, so he has come out to finish the border wall.
If the South, this is, again, just getting way ahead of ourselves, but you have seen, I think, just here recently, I mean, the Tennessee state legislature has done some good things recently. The state of Tennessee, the Senate of the state of Tennessee, the Tennessee Senate has just issued a proclamation declaring April 2023 to be Confederate History Month. I mean, look, this is all, I guess, window dressing when you're talking about the very death of our people spiritually and physically and everything else that's going on right now. But here's the point. You're talking about some of the things that the Republican Party of Texas voted into their official state platform last summer. You're seeing some good things in state legislatures like in Tennessee. And I think if you could envision a free and independent South today, they're obviously not going to be exactly where we are in terms of racial realities, but I do think you would see, for lack of a better term, Kirk, you correct me or tell me you see it a different way. I think you would see a sort of a Christian nationalist type of government that is entirely different than the federal government we've got today.
Well, you're probably right, especially if as this government continues to self-destruct and shows itself to be nothing more than the boot man for the deep state. So, yes, it probably would look more like that.
Give us there's always reason to be discontent. There's always a black pill out there waiting to be swallowed. You see anything else going on out there in your travels and in your work? And, again, and to close the thing out tonight, it's all about the SLRC and your work in the court and what cases you're fighting right now. But anything else going on out there that gives you say, hey, you know, that's something that's something that's happening that's good that we can talk
well,
about?
The Blaming Commission's recommendations, which are being carried out right now, has led to a feeling among a lot of Southern military men that they will never, ever again encourage anyone in their family or anyone they know to join the military. Because the military is saying in no uncertain words, we hate you, we hate your ancestry.
Now, that brings another question.
And we
question
actually
out,
have
Kirk.
Some affidavits that we filed in our Arlington National Cemetery case that say just that. We will never, ever encourage anyone to join the current woke military ever again until that's changed.
Kirk, that brings up one more topic. What about a militia unrelated and not part of the National Guard in southern states? I've heard some murmurings about that in different parts of the South.
There is, I can speak to unorganized militias that are forming in Virginia and North Carolina, and I assume in other states as well. That has been ongoing for the last few years. And they have competent leadership.
It was Florida was the one I heard that actually had the governor behind it, and he was creating.
Well, they're making a Florida State Guard there, which is not under the purview of the federal government, and that's by DeSantis' own.
That's what we need. We need a governor behind it in each of these states.
Well, I mean, a well-trained militia, you know, so on and so forth, as it goes, is certainly valuable. But yeah, so that's the thing, though. I mean, that's one thing that happens if you withdraw from the armed forces. You take away your ability to be trained in tactics and
firearms, basically. You know, these
go ahead, Kirk.
With a rogue government, a regime. You get situations where we could, under weird conditions, end up with firecrackers going off somewhere and get a Lexington and Concord. That's also a possibility.
Well, that I think here's the thing. Whatever's going to happen, I think we're close enough to it now where we very well may live to see it. And that's something we couldn't have possibly said 10 years ago. This country is so divided, and it's just spiraling out of control. We'll be right back.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixies, Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
Chains of Yankees, I'd like to kill some more. $300,000 Yankees.
You know, that was something Robert E. Lee himself said after the war. He would have gone back and fought to the last man. That was just something. You see the stakes now. You see where it went. That was just something. You had to fight a guerrilla war. You had to fight on. In hindsight, I mean, everybody, it's easy for me to say. I wasn't out there 4 years starving to death and fighting with no shoes and leaving my family behind and all of that. But, man, that was a, That was a cause worth fighting one way or another, that's for sure. I want to share a letter here that Keith and I have been looking at tonight. It comes from a listener in Cary, North Carolina, and she writes, "Dear TPC family, I'm writing to let you, all of you know how much I enjoy the show. You provide a lot of news that you can't get anywhere else, insightful commentary, and a wide range of guests. I also enjoy the archives of your past programs, but most importantly, I think I enjoy the optimism. I really get the feeling that the fight is not over. We are not destined to end in destruction, and I love the sense of camaraderie with other like-minded individuals. Keep up the fight." Well, we thank you so much, listener in Cary, North Carolina, and we hope you'll appreciate the package that we have sent to you. Kirk, would you agree that the fight isn't over yet? We might not be destined to end in destruction?
Well, Jefferson Davis predicted that the fight would carry on in another time and another age and under different circumstances. He predicted that it ain't over. Not by a long shot.
Well, you know, it's ironic.
And that's one of the reasons I really much like President Trump, is because it was his election that brought the deep state out into the open.
That's right.
It was all, we were all tin hat wearers and conspiracy nuts before, and now he brought the deep state out into the open where we can attack it, talk about it, and not be treated as nutsy cuckoos for talking about a deep state.
Well, it's ironic that we get a letter from Cary, North Carolina. I've heard before that Cary is an acronym for Containment Area for Relocated Yankees in North Carolina. But what we need to do is, you know, there is an awful lot of discontent out there in Red State America generally. And the best thing driving it is not having a Republican administration under Trump, but basically under a Biden administration and the Democrats. I mean, they just cannot control themselves. They have gone off the deep end. And no rational people of any religious background anywhere in the world supports their initiative to make sexual depravity a civil right. And that's, you know, that's the best thing driving, you know, that is what is bringing people to our cause more than anything else. You know, the rest of the world says no.
You said it a moment ago, Keith, that, and we've said it before, I don't remember exactly how you worded it this time, but that the enemy's done more to bolster our ranks than
absolutely
could have.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to agree also with this lady who sent in the letter about what she enjoys most about the show. Is what we enjoy most about producing it, believe me, after all these years, is not the sense of camaraderie, but the very real camaraderie that we share with great men like Kirk Lyons, who has been fighting this battle his entire life. Now, we've talked with Kirk about present-day issues and scenarios and had some fun with him about some of the work they're doing with getting the message out via airplane. But Kirk is a trial attorney by trade, and that is where he's made a name for himself, and that's why you need to know more about the Southern Legal Resource Center. Kirk, you have been engaged in countless battles in the courtroom relative to our issues, but I know every time you're on, you talk a little bit about the SLRC, but for the benefit of anybody tuning in for the first time tonight, or for the benefit of everybody who's heard you many times before but need to hear it again, give us the who, what, where, when, and why about the SLRC, what your purpose is, how people can support you, and some of the things you're fighting right now.
Well, the SLRC has been around since 1996. We're a nonprofit 501c3 public law firm that specializes in Southern heritage cases. We've represented students, student free speech issues involving Confederate symbols. We have defended heritage groups' right to march in parades with their flags, usually Confederate flags. We have helped in license plate cases, which now that we have government speech, and government speech is tyranny, by the way, we've had that right taken away from us, and we weren't able to hold on to it, but we still maintain that that is tyranny to take that speech away from us. There is no such thing as government speech, by the way. And right since 2015, we've almost been exclusively fighting on behalf of saving our monuments under the rubric that first the monuments and then us are going to be taken off the chessboard. And so currently we are joining in a coalition with other groups to fight the Biden regime it's not a presidency, it's a regime, over their blaming commission recommendations that include taking down the Confederate monument in Arlington National Cemetery. And we think we have an intelligent chance of winning that if we pull out all the stops and are able to keep going. We filed a federal lawsuit in the District of Columbia. The Sons of Confederate Veterans have filed their own lawsuit in the Eastern District of Virginia, which is, of course, where Arlington National Cemetery is. And so we're pushing those all we can. We just recently got a resolution from the South Carolina State House instructing its congressional delegation to oppose the demolition or removal of the Confederate monument in Arlington. So that's a leg up for us as our lawsuit goes forward.
That's wonderful, Kirk, because as we were joking earlier, I mean, it's not a joke. We have to fight everywhere we can to the fullest extent of our abilities. Not everybody has the ability to get on the radio and do what we do here, and certainly not everybody has the ability to go into a courtroom and practice law on behalf of defending our monuments and preserving our history and our heritage, but you do. And you've done it, as we just mentioned, for a very long time. And, of course, you know, these courts are enemy-occupied territory, too. We don't always prevail in court, but we do fight.
And the balance of power between us and the left has the National Lawyers Guild, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund with millions of dollars backing them and limitless resources. We have the FLRC and Kirk. So he deserves all your support because he's out there on the front line fighting the fight that, you know, mainstream conservatives aren't willing to fight.
Kirk, how can people learn more about your efforts and support those efforts?
They can join us on Zuckerbook page, Facebook, under the Southern Legal Resource Center. They can send us their email address to kdl@slrc-csa.org. And we'll put you on our email update. You can get our printed newsletter, which we do still send out on a limited basis, and or mail a donation to SLRC, P.O. Box 1235, Black Mountain, North Carolina, 28711. And if you request the mail update, we will certainly put you on our mailing list and send it to you.
And folks, as I said about John Hill, the descendant of A.P. Hill, who we had on in the first hour, you go to our Twitter handle, you go to the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, go to the weekly blog entry promoting tonight's broadcast or this week's broadcast, and we link over to the SLRC. So take down all the notes that Kurt just mentioned, and if that's too much, if you're driving, just go to our website. You can link right over to his and get all that information there as well. So, Kirk, with that said, God bless you, brother, and Godspeed to you as you continue to work on behalf of our people in the courts. But I would ask this final question of you before we run out of time this evening. What does Confederate History Month mean to you, and what does it mean to be descended from these brave fighting men?
Well, it's a pride in ancestry that provided some of the greatest soldiers that ever fought on the North American continent under some of the most inspired leadership, followers of a Christian army who manfully went home after the defeat and rebuilt the South under great adversity, and have shown that they were right in every step of the way in what they fought for. And as long as their descendants are able to promote the cause for which they fought, which was resistance to an illegal and hellish invasion, to an overwhelming tyranny, which we now face 10 times worse today, their name will live forever. And, you know, we might have lost the war, but my friend John Weaver always, Pastor John Weaver has always said that no, really the South won the war because we kept our faith in Christianity. And the North lost the war because they dissolved into empire building, mammon, and money making. And so he always considered that the South won the war. And I tend to agree with that.
That is a great way to look at it as we close this program tonight, 1 week removed from Resurrection Day. Keith, final word to you. And thank you for sharing that, Kirk.
Yeah, I think that it's really important to realize that hope is not lost. We have much to be hopeful for. Basically, things are breaking in our direction, internationally and nationally. We just need to be prepared to take action at the appropriate time. We've got a government that is so tyrannical in America now that it is in disrepute all over the world.
And, of course, I think we need to remember, and this isn't cliche and this isn't hokey, our Confederate dead aren't even dead. They're still alive in us, and they can take down the monuments, but so long as one of us breathes, we will have the ability to continue the fight. And there's still a lot of us out there, and the number seems to be growing. Kirk Lyons, thank you so much, brother. For John Hill, Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards, the entire staff and crew. We will see you next week as Confederate History Month rolls on. Be sure to support Kirk Lyons at the Southern Legal Resource Center. We need men like him fighting these battles in court. Thank you, Kirk. Thank you, everybody. Good night. Talk to you next week.